seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to John chapter 14 and the 6th verse. The Gospel according to John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. The Gospel according to John, chapter 14, and verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. What a mercy it is, beloved friends, there are such sacred words as this in Holy Scripture. And they are left on record by the Holy Spirit for the good and edifying and teaching of the Lord's dear people. We looked a little this morning at the first clause which Jesus spoke, I am the way. Let us be very clear, there's no other way to heaven but through a precious Jesus and through his blessed finished work at Calvary. And just one or two things before I go into the text further. First of all, the Lord shows his dear people that he is the only way to glory, the only way of approach to a holy God. And he will show them that the way they walk and must walk here below must be a way of holiness. The very nature of God is holiness. And if ever a man walked this earth and manifested it, the dear Redeemer did, as he walked this path here below. And the second thing is this, that all other paths shall lead to death, shall lead to despair. And the Lord will make this very clear to his dear children. I want to look a little at the latter part as we may be helped. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Wonderful word, isn't it? The truth. The sinner that's born of God, one of the vital things the Lord will teach them in their early days is the truth as it is in Jesus. And all they will want is truth. And Jesus himself says here that he is the truth. And when you look, if you go by faith as help to Calvary, you look at what Pilate said to those that sought to crucify the dear Redeemer. Pilate said he found no fault in him. And why could he not find any fault in the dear Redeemer? Because in everything that he spoke, everything he did, everything that he walked in was truth from beginning to end. I find no fault in him, he says. So different than man by nature, isn't it? There's so much untruth in man by nature. You think of in the fall in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had obeyed the truth, they would not have fell and partaken of that fruit, would they? but they deviated from the truth. And so many in this solemn days, you see, deviate from the truth. I was thinking of the King James Authorised Version, you know. If you look and Mr. John Broome used to so often speak of it, the original text that it was taken from was absolutely truth. And this is why it should ever be cleaved to, because it is truth. So many other versions, you see, are not, when you analyse them, under grace, there's a lot that's not truth, which is solemn. And it's a solemn thing to teach children or teach any man from something that's not truth. What did Jesus say? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's a beautiful word, that is, isn't it? Ye shall know the truth. And do you not desire, the soul that's born of God will ever desire that which is truth? They want the truth and nothing but the truth. And that truth is Christ. He must be first, he must be last, and he must be all in all. And may we ever cleave to the truth. Go back to dear Ruth that we spoke of a little this morning. You look how she clave to dear Naomi. And why did she cleave so to dear Naomi? Well, because of her love to her spiritually. That was the first thing. The second thing was, Naomi, all she wanted was the truth, which was Christ. And dear Ruth longed for to know that same truth, and she clave to Naomi. But not only did she cleave to Naomi, she clave to Naomi's God, because Naomi's God was a God of truth. The children of Israel went after many false gods. They were gods that were not truth. But it's only the living God of heaven that's the God of truth. Ye shall know the truth. And you look how the Lord brought his dear disciples to know him. The Lord's a sovereign how he brings his dear people to know him. Ye shall know the truth. He will bring them to know the truth as it is sacredly preached, as they read the holy word of God, and they, how will they know it? They know it by experience. You look back to our godly forefathers, how sound they were in the truth, because the Lord had burnt the truth into their hearts. They walked it out by experience. You know, there's no school better than the school of experience, is walking it out, you see, knowing the truth in a vital saving way. It may be he will teach you the truth in the path of deep affliction. It's a painful path to walk, but oh, in that path of affliction, to be brought to know the truth as it is in Jesus. And then it may be through deep trials, deep temptations, bitter onslaughts from Satan, that you might know the truth. And you have to walk that out and sweetly experience in it the blessed truth. The truth of the presence of the Lord. The truth of the power of his word. The truth being burnt in the sinner's heart. Ye shall know the truth. And you look how he made himself known to the dear disciples. He asked them on one occasion, whom say ye that I am? And what did Simon Peter say? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, how did he know it? Because the Lord had revealed himself to Simon Peter. Manifested himself to him as his Saviour, his Redeemer, his all. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Ye shall know the truth. And then think of the fishermen, how he revealed himself to them. To Matthew, the receipt of custom. And when he said to Simon Peter, and Simon said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And what did Jesus say to him? Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So knowing the truth, knowing a precious Jesus, the sinner is brought to liberty. Knowing his pardoning love, knowing the application of his precious blood. You see, God's word is full of truth from beginning to end. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And it's knowing that truth that we shall know sweet liberty. If we don't know the truth, we shall never know what it is to have liberty. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from sin, free from unbelief. Free from all doubts, free from all trouble. Oh, what a blessed place when we're at liberty. Set free. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I look back in one's early days and I think how the Lord gave me such a love to his holy word. And why was there such a love to that precious word of God? Because it was full of Christ. And if your soul and mine really hungers and thirsts for Christ, what we shall want is the truth. And we can feed upon that truth, you see. Where the truth is blessedly made known to the Lord's dear people, there's a real feeding on the truth. You think how many over the years that fed under the ministry of your late beloved pastor. So many here could testify that where the word that he preached was precious truth. We live in a solemn day where many want the truth watered down to please them, to suit them. I used to know a man who was in Bedfordshire. He always said he spoke the truth. He was not a minister, but just a man that was a member of one of our churches. He always said, but you know, there were many said that he may say what is truth, but he stretched the truth as far as he could. Some of the time, you see, it went over. It was never really truth, but he professed it was. It's a solemn thing, that is. And what concerns me much is that in our hearts, the Lord knows within each of us this afternoon whether we really know the truth, whether we really know a precious Christ as our Saviour, our Redeemer, our all and in all. And then the truth is very precious to sinners because it's full of Christ. But there's another point that seems to rest upon me I just want to name, and it is this. The words that the Lord speaks to his dear children are words of truth. And they prove the truth by having to walk it out. You see, when the Lord gives a sweet promise, he not only gives it to the sinner for that day, or that circumstance, he will give it to them, and it's a word they have to prove. They can truly say it's tried and proved. And as they walk it out and go through various trials with it, that word will stand if it's truth. You see, when we come to the end, whatever we may profess that the Lord has given to us, we may say, well, we got this or we got that or something else. But you know, when we come to the end, it'll only be the truth that'll ever do us good. It'll only be the truth that'll stand. Nothing else will. Everything else will be laid in the grave with us. But that which is truth will stand. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Precious words. May the Lord grant them to us each. But then he goes further, as much could be said upon a precious Jesus and being the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the life. You know, he's the life of the Lord's dear children. Is he your life? Is he mine? Are there a few ways as helped, as the Holy Spirit may help me? I just want to bring these words before you. And the life. We don't preach, and I speak this with reverence, a dead Christ, do we? We would ever preach a living Christ. What did we read in this sacred chapter this afternoon? Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. He's the life of the child of God. For me to live, Paul says, is Christ, and to die is gain. You know, when Paul wrote those words to the church in Philippi, he could look back from the day the Lord called him by grace on the Damascus Road, and all he wanted to live for, right up to that moment of time, was a precious Christ. Christ was his life. What do we read him say to the Ephesian church? Ye are dead, but your life is hid with Christ in God. He is thy life. He got nothing else, the apostle, to live for, had he, but to preach a precious Jesus to sinners. Christ was his life, and all the life there was in his soul flowed through a precious Jesus. You think of that word too that the apostle spoke to the church in Galatia. It's a beautiful word, and yet it's a very searching word, really. He said to them this, I am crucified with Christ. Do you know anything of what is to be crucified? There's a lot in us that needs crucifying, all that self, all that religion that's only the flesh, all that that's of our carnal mind, it all must be crucified. I am crucified with Christ. And then you think of the apostle's life that he had, of persecution, of opposition that he endured. It was a crucifying pathway. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Just pause a minute, child of God. Is he living in you and he living in me? Well, let me come low. Do we desire that he would live in us? Oh, that Christ might live in us like he did in the Apostle Paul. And you see, if he's living in us, he'll keep us from sinning. He'll keep us from wandering into the world. He'll keep us from the things that are grieving to the Lord. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And then he says this, the life that I now live in the flesh. He didn't say what he had lived in his unregenerate days. No, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the power of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, precious Jesus living in the apostle. He was his life. For me to live is Christ. But oh, to be able to say, to die is gain. You see, all he wanted to do was live the rest of his days to serve his dear Redeemer. And then at the close of his journey here, to be with the dear Redeemer forever. To die was gain. What a gain it was, wasn't it? What a blessed exchange. To be freed from this body of sin and death. And to be in the eternal presence of the dear Redeemer forever. So is he thy life? And the life, he's the life of the child of God. And all the life that they've got flows from him. What does David say in Psalm 22? He says this, but none can keep alive his own soul. And that is something the Lord will teach every one of his dear children. They cannot keep alive their own soul. It's only the Lord that can keep it alive. And if a precious Christ is thy life, poor soul, he will keep that life alive in you. Oh, he will. You can't keep it alive yourself. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then what the Lord speaks to his dear children, whether it's through his word or through the ministry or audibly from heaven, those words that he speaks unto them are life, words of life. They can, when the Lord speaks, he will stir up life in the child of God. Oh, it will. What a mercy it is. The Lord does keep his dear people alive. Not only naturally, but he keeps them alive spiritually. And they can feed upon him. Oh, think of those words of Jesus. Except ye eat my flesh and drink my blood. There is no life in you. You think of Solomon searching those words, except ye eat my flesh and drink my blood, there is no life in you. Now we know that does apply to the Lord's Supper, but there's a far deeper meaning to it. Except ye eat my flesh, that is eating his flesh by faith. And drink my blood by faith. There is no life in you. And, oh, may the Holy Spirit give us that faith to feed upon. This is what it really means in its simplicity. Feeding upon a precious Christ. Feeding upon his word. Feeding upon his sufferings. Feeding upon his death. Feeding upon his glorious resurrection. And not only that, but us to view that precious broken body of the dear Saviour. What broke it? Well, it was our sins that nailed him to the cross. And oh, to view that it was our sins. And you know when the Lord shows you in some sweet little measure that it was your sin and mine that nailed him to Calvary's tree, what will it do? What will be the effect of it if I know anything about it at all? It'll melt the hardest marbles of your heart. The hymn writer said, was it for crimes that I have done? He hung upon the tree. And oh, when we have a little view that it was our sins that nailed him there, and to see him suffering in those agonies that he endured, both of body, of mind and of soul, for your sin and mine. And in it you see his life, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, there is no life in you. But then let us just briefly hint at that precious blood. We need much reverence to even take it upon our poor lips. But you know, in that precious blood of Jesus, to sinners there's life, because that precious blood can put away the blackest, the vilest of all sin. Oh, it can. And when we have a little view of it, that it was our sin, that precious blood was shed for to wash away, it'll melt your poor heart and mine, and there's a real drinking of it. All there is. That he did it for me. That each may say, think of what the hymn writer said, the time of love will come when we shall clearly see not only that he shed his blood, many could name that, but each shall say, for me, for me, for me. And oh, may we sweetly experience it more and more, and the sweet feeling of it and the reality of it and all the sin that troubles you removed. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. He didn't say I may be. I am the way. There was no doubt about this. And I am the truth. And I am the life. And when the Lord speaks such a word to you as this, there's salvation in it from beginning to end. I quoted this morning what the hymn writer said, if ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. And there's no other way, poor soul. It's the way that leads from banishment. It's the way that leads the sinner right out of this world to all they want is Jesus only. And you know, if you go into the Mount of Transfiguration, what was the sweet conversation there between those precious souls there in that Mount? It was this, wasn't it? Of him and his sufferings and of his death, of his departure. Well, I must leave it because of the time, but may the Holy Spirit sweetly apply these precious words to us. I've only hinted at them today. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, in a precious Jesus, and like the hymn writer said, in him I live, in him I move, in him I have my very being. The apostle could say it, the dear hymn writers could express it, couldn't they? Can you and can I today? Well, may it be our soul's sincere desire. Amen.